The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Nighttime in Atlanta, night before the big SEC championship game. Always memorable, always something that is marked on the calendar, becomes a part of the narrative of the SEC, just like Conversations with Griff. Mike Griffith joins us on location here. Mike, we've seen you a couple of times this year. Oh, it may see you again a couple of times, we hope. Good
kind
to see
of expect
you.
Me to be here now for the SEC championship game with Georgia, right? I mean, this is it. I mean, this is the new SEC world. Georgia's here every year, and I know they're going to get rid of the East and West, and Georgia will be one of the top two teams next year and the year after that. I mean, this is just the way it sets up. This is just the natural progression and the evolution of the SEC. My only question is, you know, did Dabo blow being the next guy to replace Saban? That's kind of, you know, with that loss to South Carolina now, I don't know who the next guy is after Saban there at Alabama.
Yeah, I would say Dabo's last 2 years probably don't put him at the front of the line.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to be Lane Kiffin, I'll tell you that.
Well, it's interesting you say that because there's a narrative that he turned down Auburn because Alabama is his next destination. Why don't you think that?
I think he turned him down because they wanted to take control of his Twitter account, apparently. That's like one of the things you got to go with Auburn. You got to give up your Twitter account. Lane said, whoa, I was good with everything else. You told me I was giving up because his Twitter account is the best part of his game.
It is.
It really is. And the dog's Twitter account is a close second. The Lane Kiffin dog Twitter account. Isn't it amazing the impact that social media has and the perception that Lane Kiffin has created for himself and recreated himself? Meanwhile, at Auburn, now Hugh Freeze is going to, and he's not going to have the benefit of social media. I saw this.
Well, do we know that for sure? Or by
well,
the way,
somebody else will be running it.
Hugh Freeze was never that active on social media.
Maybe, you're right. He wasn't active on social media. He was active plenty of other places, though. I'll tell you what. I saw AL.com did this timeline, and I'm thinking, oh, I'll just take a few snippets of this. And it kept going and going and going. And I said, my goodness, you know who the happiest person is with the Hugh Freeze hiring at Auburn? Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt, his list is about this long. And, oh, he gave $60,000 at 10. What is $60,000? That doesn't even buy you a holder for the kicker anymore. What is $60,000 in NIL buy you? Third string running back? I mean, if it's just.
Don't forget the McDonald's.
Well, it was actually Chick-fil-A.
Oh, Chick-fil-A.
It was
okay.
More. That bag was more. And you know what's funny? I talked to Jeremy about it, and he said, you know what? For that lady who needed that money for hip surgery, he said he'd do it again. And I'm thinking to myself, where was the system at where coaches and programs couldn't assist players and parents? Now, I'm not talking about buying Reggie Bush's parents a house in California like USC. I'm talking about medical expenses to help a family when a son is in college and can't get a job because – and again, I'm not trying to turn Jeremy Pruitt into a sympathetic figure. As much as you like him, Paul, he doesn't need that. He's going to, you know, pay his time and – whatever, he's got to sit out, or I'm not sure, not be a head coach, whatever it's going to be. But when you look at Hugh Freeze's hiring at Auburn, what that does is that opens the door for a lot of coaches that maybe have had show cause penalties or NCAA issues, because the SEC places itself above all of college football, as it should. And I think this sends a message that, you know, if you come clean and you've paid your time at another school, that Greg Sankey and the SEC will give you a chance.
Listen, everything I'm about to say you already know, but I think it's worth saying because Commissioner Sankey has been emphatic that they don't tell schools, you know, who they can hire. They're called, and there is a protocol in effect when it comes to, I think it's level one violators.
I mean, you can't even keep a straight face with
I'm trying.
There are rules out there. We promise. Somewhere we can. There's rules somewhere. No, there is. I mean, there obviously is. And Hugh Freeze is an older guy, and he's been at, you know, Liberty for a few years, and it looks like he's for the most part kept his slate clean. And Auburn is desperate to find a coach that can win games. You know, and on the front end, Paul, I really you know, like Hugh Freeze seemed like, well, it's going to be Hugh Freeze. It's time for him to come back. He's a guy that's beaten Nick Saban. That was one. He's beaten Kirby Smart, maybe more importantly.
Yeah.
Now the question is, can you beat Kirby Smart? You know, seems like more and more people are beating Nick Saban. I mean, Josh Heupel beat him this year. Brian Kellen beat him this year. So now it's who's beat Kirby Smart. Hugh Freeze did do that.
Yeah.
And he knows how to run a program. And now I think Auburn will give him what he needs competitively with NIL money. And it's a matter of putting it all together. Although, you know, as we've seen, and I was listening, reading from the Book of Tebow today, Tim was doing an interview earlier saying that, you know, Texas A&M had one of the 15 best rosters, not necessarily 15 best teams. So even if you're able to acquire all this talent, there's still some team building and player development and leadership that needs to take place, Paul. It's not automatic that just because you can throw enough money at players that you're going to win games in this league.
Anything else you want to say about Hugh Freeze before we move on?
I mean, I think
I just don't want to leave. I don't want to take any time away from
here. I mean, it's been an interesting week. Think about the landscape, the way it shifted. I mean, and we're right here in the middle of the college football world. Two years from now, they're going to be playing the first national championship after a 12-game playoff right here in Atlanta. I mean, this has become the capital of college football. And that's exciting to me because I live near here, but also because I think this city has been waiting. You know, you always hear about Atlanta as a sports city, but blah, blah, what is it? It's college football town, folks. Make no mistake about it. What Gary Stokin's done to grow the Peach Bowl, which will be one of the semifinals here on December 31st. I mean, this is an exciting time for the city of Atlanta. And I think the SEC as well, one of the top convention cities in the country, and we're going to be in the middle of championship races, and we're in the middle of it right now. We're seeing the number one team in the country is going to play here tomorrow.
Well, let's continue talking about that part of it, because I was in Tuscaloosa last week, and Nick Saban still looked pretty feisty. And I'm not putting words in your mouth here, but you seem like the narrative has already changed to Kirby Smart.
Well, it has. I mean, this is 2 years in a row. I mean, I don't know. I can't change what happened. I mean, Georgia knocked Alabama off in the championship game last year. We all awaited a rematch this year. Alabama and Tennessee told one another they'd see. Are they here, by the way? Because I know they were talking about they'd see each other here again in Atlanta.
Right.
Maybe they're here somewhere to watch the game. They're certainly not going to be on the field on Saturday. But Alabama didn't hold up its end of the deal. I mean, and listen, I covered Alabama in the 90s. You worked there as a columnist. I mean, we respect and appreciate Nick Saban is on the Mount Rushmore of SEC coaches. But you know what? They're chiseling Kirby Smart's profile right now. You're talking about a guy who joined Nick Saban and Steve Spurrier.
Mike, I mean, don't you think you ought to wait till he wins an SEC championship tomorrow and then wins a natty? And I mean, I know you're a believer, and I never want to interfere with a true believer.
Well,
but he hasn't won yet. He's won a title.
Well, he has, and that's what Steve Spurrier won. But he's also won back-to-back SEC, went undefeated in back-to-back regular seasons, which only Spurrier and Saban have done since 1992. And that's pretty remarkable in this day and age because, Paul, it's a different game. I mean, we're sitting up here talking about a Georgia team, you know, all together now, 15 NFL draft picks, 13 transfers, 4 assistant coaches.
I saw you in Vegas.
We've got a free agency period coming up starting Sunday. Watch your Twitter account, folks, because the players are going to be tweeting all over the place of who's in the portal. And the question to me isn't who leaves Georgia, because I think they're going to lose a handful again. Mm-hmm. The question is, what quarterback is going to be on line one wanting to be next? Because I think they bring back a very talented Carson Beck, who's been 3 years in the program. But we know Georgia pursued Caleb Williams last year in the portal.
Right.
And they had an MVP from the championship game. Kirby Smart is not going to rest at what he has. He's always looking for next best. And, Paul, that's why he's number one.
Yeah. And listen, I think you know how I feel about Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
I'm a believer, but I also think that I wonder if you're not – maybe throwing a little too much dirt on Saban too quickly.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, it looked like somebody threw something at Saban last week. His face was all cut up. I never really got an explanation for that. And I thought he played it off wonderfully. And again, I'm I I don't know if I'd use the word fan, but I'm somebody that respects Nick Saban. I like to listen to his motivational speeches, sure. a lot of his sayings right. about, you know, your self-standard for excellence. I apply that to my own life.
Right.
And every time I talk to Tebow and Saban, I walk away, like, taking notes, sure. like, self-improvement and motivation for life. I mean, he's a fantastic.
And that's how I'm like that with you when you're
right. I'm aware of that.
I'm writing them down.
I'll leave you the notes when I'm done here. But in all seriousness, Alabama's got to make some changes on their coaching staff. Nick Saban has to find a new quarterback, more than likely. He's going to have to go in the portal. And he's got to hope those freshman receiver, and I've heard really good things about those freshman receiver
right.
receivers, but apparently not good enough to beat LSU and Tennessee this year.
Well, but, you know, they only lost by 4 points on the final play of the game.
That's true. And we should probably give them some credit for barely beating Texas A&M and Texas while we're at it in the final seconds. I mean, it's just – it was disappointing. And it was disappointing because I think Paul will tell you this when people ask, well, who do we root for? You know, oh, Paul went to Tennessee, Mike went to – listen, we root for the good story, man. We root for the most dynamic, explosive, entertaining story that we could possibly see. And 9 times out of 10, Paul, the SEC delivers that.
Right.
It's why it's the best conference in the country, top to bottom. It's why an A&M team that had lost 6 in a row in the league can knock off an LSU team, you know, that Brian Kelly has, you know, found some magic, really, with his coaching and his leadership, right? But this game is not, you know, we're a little spoiled here. Now, that said, to your point, somebody reminded me of this the other day, and you're reminding me of it now. 2001, I rolled in here as the Tennessee football beat writer making reservations to go to the Rose Bowl and cover
right.
the Vols.
Right.
And Nick Saban and LSU had a different plan after their starting quarterback and starting running back got knocked out. They were actually more dangerous.
They were.
And they upset Tennessee in 2001. And that wasn't supposed to happen.
Well, not only was that monumental, it really affected the psyche of Tennessee forever.
Well, a lot of people thought that was the beginning of the end yeah. for Coach Fulmer, although he did make 2 other yeah. appearances in the SEC
championship. It was as important as it was to Fulmer, it lifted Nick Saban.
Well, and that's the question about Nick Saban. Now, this is yeah. where I think we're at with Nick Saban is this is going to be, you know, I know it sounds crazy, but this is 2 years in a row where we're finishing a season really disappointed with Alabama. This year in particular, I mean, they can't even beg or lobby their way in. I mean, it's a bad argument. It's really kind of sad. Ohio State, this is where we're at. How did we get here? Ohio State just got outscored 28-3 at home in the second half against their rivals, but they're next up. That's really the 5th best team and we're talking about expanding to 12 teams. I don't know if Ohio State would beat Mississippi State or Ole Miss, right? I don't know where they would be in the SEC, Paul. Maybe 4th or 5th, South Carolina. You know, I don't know where Ohio State would measure up, but, you know, they had to, what, come from behind against Maryland and Michigan. Let's not even get started with this. I mean, but I will, because I think it's ridiculous the call they got against Illinois. They shouldn't even be here. They should have lost against Illinois, if not for a horrible call. And then Jim Harbaugh with this incredible hypocrisy, wanting all these Michigan State players put in jail for pushing in a tunnel, and it turns out he's got some guy facing felony charges on his own football team that he's been playing. I mean, this is outrageous, and they want to ridicule the SEC for losing perspective, and this is what's going on in that league? I don't want to hear it.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Mike Griffin never disappoints, never fails. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I can't tell you how excited I am to say hello to Michael Warren. You may know who he is if you're a fan of music, a young man who grew up in Birmingham and has really taken some in Nashville by storm, not only as a songwriter, but also as an artist. Michael, it is really great to see you. Thank you.
Nice to see you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, we are delighted. We can't wait to talk a little bit about a few things. I'm assuming you're a football fan.
Sir?
I'm assuming you're a football
fan. Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
You grow up in Alabama, it's pretty hard to miss.
You can't. I mean, you turn the TV on, it's on all year long. It never stops.
Let's I know some of you heard this, but give us, you got a song out recently, your debut single called What's Country to You, and let's listen for a second.
To me, it's a sky blue, double wide, sitting on 85, big as a heaven. To me, it's a short bed, stick sheets, heavy the FM, playing the petty. It's a cold beer on a Friday night, boys round here run a little wild.
So, Michael, I don't know a lot about country music in terms of writing it, but if you get the name country in there, I'm assuming it's a good start.
Absolutely. You got to have something. You got to have that and some beer, you know.
I heard some song about, what was it, Thomas Redd? What's your song?
What's your country song?
You know, This Is Country, I think, Brad Paisley. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm showing
Absolutely.
Him up. Take me through the process. How did something like that song evolve?
So usually I write all my songs. I've written for a lot of people out when I lived in Los Angeles. Kind of got gravitated back to the South. Always loved country music from as long as I can remember. And just, I've been a fan of great songwriting. So got down to Nashville, and I really kind of wanted to immerse myself in Nashville and the way that they wrote songs. And there's tons of great songwriters, so I wanted to collaborate with them. This song came through my email, through a publisher friend of ours, and I heard it, instantly loved it, and I was like, that's how I want to start my career in country music, with that song.
And I mean, I saw you there. I could never do this because I can't. I'm a host. I can't get up there and feel the. But when you're singing something like that, you're living it too, aren't you?
Absolutely, have to. You can't really sing anything you're not doing because people will figure it out. So growing up in the South, we did all these things that I talk about in the song, and when I heard it, like I said, it fit me, and I just loved the message, and here we are now. What's country to you?
You talked about writing. I mean, you've written for some of the biggest names in music.
Yeah.
Take us through that part of your life.
So I was in Birmingham, sitting in my parents' house, and I wrote a song in the kitchen with my mom. She usually, when I'm, like, writing my songs, she's usually the first person to hear him, so she's usually cooking when I'm writing, and if she turns around, that means that she liked what she heard. If she doesn't turn around, then I'm on to the next song. So I wrote a little song in the kitchen one evening. My mom loved it. I put it out myself first Fast forward about 6-7 months later, Tony Braxton heard it and wanted to record it, and here we are once again.
When you have somebody who's internationally known do your music, and then you finally hear it, you're wherever you are, whether you're in your car or at home, what does that feel like?
Okay, so that feeling never gets old. It doesn't matter how big the artist is, how small the artist is. Anytime somebody wants to record a song that you wrote, it's a special moment, and it never, ever gets old.
So you grew up in Birmingham, which I spent most of my life there. It's a country music town, but there's also a lot of classic rock elements.
Absolutely.
You got the southern rock part of it with Skynyrd and the Allman Brothers. I mean, there's so many. So let's go back into your house, and I know the answer to this. That's why I'm asking. What did you grow up listening to?
So I would say the first record that I really gravitated to was James Taylor. Carolina in My Mind was my song. I wore it out nonstop. It's kind of the reason I play guitar now. My dad was really instrumental in exposing me and my brother to all kinds of music from Earth, Wind & Fire, James Taylor, Hank Williams, anything that we would be in road trips with. We didn't really like it sometimes growing up, but now that we're older, I'm so glad that he exposed us to that kind of music.
You may know this, but I happened to hear James Taylor in an interview once, because I grew up, he was really the first artist I had a record of. And he talked about how he wrote that song. You may have heard this. He was in somewhere in France. He was with he and his girlfriend at the time they were on some island in the south of France, and they couldn't get back, and they slept on the sidewalk waiting for the next boat. And he started thinking about North Carolina, where he grew up, and in my mind.
And there we go, Carolina in my mind.
Yeah, and I think, and that's how it evolved into one of the iconic hits of the 70s.
Yes, sir.
Michael Warren with us talking about country music and growing up in Birmingham. In terms of making it in Nashville, easier said than done.
I wish there was a magic pill that you could take and be a big megastar, but it really takes a lot of hard work and a lot of patience and a lot of time.
When you see a lot of young artists, and there are many who are just, I mean, that 2 or 3 years ago, nobody had ever heard of, and now are leading the charts. Who do you look to? Who inspires you the most?
Who inspires me? Gosh. I mean, new age. I mean, I love Luke Combs. I remember watching him in Birmingham play in front of like 5 people, and now he's in stadiums. Watching his work ethic. Morgan Wallen, Jimmy Allen. Those are just some people that I really look up to and know their backstory and know how hard they work to get there.
Is it the authenticity? Because I think with Luke Combs, and I've told this story on myself, we had him on the show, I don't know, a year or two ago. He wrote a song for the SEC Network, South on You. And, I mean, I knew who he was, but I didn't know much about him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked down and go, 14 straight number. I mean, like, what?
He'd kill
it. And then I became a fan, and he really has grabbed me with, especially this last record.
Yeah.
Right now, you've got this record out. You're getting notice. How do you get from? I mean, obviously, you're on a show here, but that's how it helps. But how do you break that door down? How does that song go to the next level, and then you follow it up with other songs?
So we've been doing a lot of work prior to this moment. We've been in the studio recording like crazy. We have our next single coming out mid-January called Another Round. It's a ballad, a little bit mid-tempo-y. And then shortly after that, we'll release a full EP. And then it's really just hitting the road, playing college towns, playing festivals, just a lot of hitting the pavement. And we're going to get out there, and we're going to work hard, and we're going to get there.
Yeah, we had a young lady on here a couple weeks ago in Athens. Megan Maroney, I think.
Maroney, yeah.
She did the Tennessee Orange song. And somebody sent it to me, and we started. I mean, then it's like it gets in your head. And we had her on, and she's with that one. I mean, she had done some other songs.
Oh yeah, she's really good. Megan's really good.
Yeah. So when's your next appearance?
So I'm actually playing in Hawaii in January.
I'll be there.
Yes, we're gonna do some playing for the troops out there because we respect what they do and we love what they do, so we're going to go back and do some giving back.
Well, Michael, it's been an inspiration to meet you, and we are going to be following you very closely, and one day we're going to say we knew him when.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Michael. What a pleasure. Sir. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Beach vacation over camping? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Takeo Spikes. Takeo, it's always good to see you. It's been too long. We're always missing each other in studio because we're out on the road on Friday, but thanks for coming by.
Paul, it's always a pleasure to join you, my friend. Always. Especially, people think we don't get up here and talk ball, but we do. But we talk real life stuff what everybody wants to hear.
Yeah, and that's where I want to go. I feel like we've done enough, and we'll continue to talk about this important game tomorrow. But I want to get your reaction as one of the true legendary players in Auburn history. Your reaction to the hiring this week of Hugh Freeze.
I think Hugh Freeze checks off all the boxes. No doubt, especially when I know for an Auburn man, we want somebody who can be able to compete with Nick Saban. And we've seen that he's beat Nick Saban back-to-back years. We need somebody who can come in as an influencer, meaning they can be a splash name who kids want to play for and have familiarity. He definitely checks off the box with that. And then the last thing but not least, develop guys. I think about Robert Condici. I think about some of the other guys who we brought through that Ole Miss program back in the day to where they were competitive, even though some of the games were rescinded. But he has the ability to go and do it. Now, on a bigger note, before all of this was happening, I really wanted to see who are some of the other contestants that were going to have an opportunity to sit down and be interviewed. For me, one guy who came to mind outside of Cadillac, because he was right there doing the work, was Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. Yeah. And I don't know whether or not if he got an interview or not, but I really thought he would have been another great name or the name to really take us back to where we need to be and get us back. Not saying that we can't go there now, because I still do believe that, but I just know what Prime is doing, his resume, what he's done at Jackson State over the previous 2 years. Definitely we can use that.
That's interesting, because I don't know whether – I mean, I never heard his name really during the process. It just seemed like somebody put the word out, it's not happening. And I have a hard time believing that he wouldn't have considered it.
I have a hard time believing that he wouldn't consider
it. Yeah, it seems like that would have been a good place for him to land, as opposed to Colorado, where his name's been linked to, or other jobs.
Yeah, like, if you – listen, Deion Sanders – Coach Prime is from the South.
Yeah.
He understands the importance of it. And I think the thing, what was so frustrating about it was, you know, they'll come to me and just say, you know what? Well, maybe they feel like it might be too much. His personality is too big. Are you kidding me? You, as a kid, as an 18, 19-year-old, I'm coming in the door. I want my head coach personality is big. Because if it ain't big, he needs to be in the grave. I'll be the first one throwing the dirt on top of him. Like, period. That's what you want. And he's an influencer. He understands what it takes not only to connect with the kids, but to also push the kids, because what he's doing at Jackson State is turning young men, young boys, into young men. that will have a legacy that will live way longer than anything in all of football ever can last.
Yeah, and I don't think – I mean, we know Hugh Freeze's record. It's self-explanatory. But he's a calm guy. He does not have the bravado that Deion Sanders has, and probably Cardonnell Williams either. I thought I was very impressed with Cardonnell Williams as the season went on. And I know they gave Cardonnell a title and whatever else came with that, but do you think it was his lack of experience, or do you think there was something else they just decided they wanted Hugh Freeze or Lane Kiffin?
I think with Coach Cadillac Cardonnell, and I didn't get this from anybody, this is just my true assessment. I think with him, just the point of where the program is at,
right,
is being so far behind. And if you're going to take a risk on the next coach, you want it to be proven. So you can't look back and say, look, guys, we risked way too much,
right,
for the uncertainty that comes along. Now, I think it's great what Cardonnell did. I'm a big fan of his. I was screaming and preaching, knocking on the door. Hey, Cardonnell needs an opportunity to interview. And I'll say this, even with Coach Freeze there now, he's there now. And I support it. All of the other Auburn guys are going to support it. And that's what Auburn people do at the end of the day. You know better than anybody else. We get behind our coaching staff, and I think he's capable. He's more than capable.
Talking to Keo Spikes here, you mentioned young people today, and that's where I want to talk to you about, because they look up to people like you when they see what you have accomplished, and you mentioned Coach Prime. What does it take? And I know some people, the first thing they're going to say is money. But we're in the middle of recruiting right now. What does it take to, beyond the obvious, but money's everywhere for the best players. Why does a Takeo Spikes today go to a certain school versus the other one?
Well, money is number one. And as much as we don't want to put that at the forefront, we have to, because I think what fans and people have to realize is, like, we all are a product of our past circumstances, and we want the opportunity to not only help our family, but to create other avenues to where you're not just giving out handouts all the time. So NIL, I think, is beautiful. I think it's a great thing that happened to college sports in general, but I think the most important thing to get guys and young ladies to come to schools now is the opportunity to create your own pathway to be able to make money. And for me, the most important thing to sell is not so much what I can give you for right now, because hell, you can promise guys thousands of dollars and those same kids will blow it in a minute, and you can't blame them.
No.
But the true test, or the true testimony behind it all, is to put somebody in a leadership position and say, you know what, I can get you an NIL for $50,000. I can get you an NIL for $250,000 over your four-year time period, maybe even more. But the true testament is the journey of what you will learn while you're going throughout the process, and I'm going to teach you so much to where you don't have to worry about the money that you're going to make right now. It's about creating that opportunity to fulfill your lifelong dream of having an opportunity to go to the NFL. And now you can be your own corporation versus being owned by the money for the moment.
And right now in the sport, in college football, are there certain people you look out there and go, that guy is in a class of his own? That one is. Because it's hard for us on the commentary side to really see what families are seeing, to see what you would understand as somebody who has been through that process.
As far as head coaches?
Yeah, I mean, who out there do you think really moves the needle?
Yeah, like, you know, it's no secret. I think you start with Nick Saban, and the proof is in the pudding.
Because of what he's done and the influence he's had.
What he's won. You look at all of the guys. I tell you this. Whenever you look at an organization, and this is really for the young kids, they don't know it, may not be able to articulate it. If you want to look and see how good an organization is, look at the alumni. Look at all of the people who came and now they're retired. When you look at Alabama sideline, especially throughout any game of the season, doesn't have to be a bowl game. Half of the sideline is filled with former players.
Yeah.
And so they don't care who you are. It's to support the love. Once you played for me and you've done the right thing, you will always be recognized.
I was talking to Ozzie Newsome earlier, great player at Alabama.
Absolutely.
And the Baltimore Colts GM. And you know, I asked him about breaking the color barrier in the 70s, and he said it didn't affect us as much. And I said, why not? He said, because we were at Alabama. As if that transcended everything else. And I know a lot of those guys, as you do, it helped cushion all the hatred and all the noise out there. And that's really, in many ways, what Saban has done there. And I think we're waiting for who will be the next one, which brings me to Kirby Smart. He's got the record. He's got the resume. Is he capable of taking what he has right now and pushing it forward in a dramatic way?
Yeah, I believe that. And you look at his resume. I mean, what Kirby has been able to do has been very impressive. What, 27 regular season games, one. And then you look at two back-to-back seasons of going 12-0. First 7 years at Georgia. That's five out of the seven SEC championship appearances.
Right.
And won a natty last year. So, for me, like, looking at it, we might be seeing the next coming of Nick Saban from a legacy standpoint if he continues this trend. But it starts with him obviously winning the SEC championship and winning another natty this year.
A few more moments with Keo Spikes as we are heading toward the finish. I asked you this 6 months ago as you were beginning your journey here on television. So we're now heading toward we're deep in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we are.
What's it been like for you?
It's been amazing, Paul. It's been a bittersweet week because college football season goes by so fast and it's almost over. But I've enjoyed my time. The hardest part was learning all of the kids' names. And this is the part where it really makes you mad. You covering the game and you got two kids wearing the same number. And I'm like, he's playing both ways. Producing your ear. Oh no, that's this guy, Taquillo. And it's like, oh. But those are some of the early growing pains that I went through, especially week one, week two. But it's been a blast, man. I've enjoyed it. I enjoyed doing segments on yours. Looking forward to being on a consistent schedule with you next year. So yeah. Throwing that out there so you can catch it.
No, I've been, and we haven't had you much because the reason I said we're out on Friday and you're in and we don't see you during the week. But I think you've been phenomenal. I don't know anyone in the industry who comes across more authentic. I mean, this is you. I mean, I knew you as a player.
Yeah.
You were scary. You were scarier as a NFL player. And you're even scarier as a commentator. You're fantastic.
I love it, man. And the thing I enjoy doing is two things. Is being bold with what I see. And number two is just being authentic. Just when I get excited about something, I want everybody to see it and see it through my lens. So, you know, that's been the real thing that I really enjoyed this past 12 weeks.
Well, it has been phenomenal. It does seem like yesterday that we were across the street welcoming you to the SEC Network. And we will see you often as we make the turn toward the playoffs after tomorrow. Taquillo, thank you very much.
Paul, I got a question for you right quick before we go to break. Do you think Auburn will be able to get back to where we are within a two-year time period? To competing for the West?
Yes, I think it's possible.
I do too. I'm glad we see it. Hey, we got a chance. Settle down.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.